But I got the phone call, and I immediately went down to prayer. And just began to talk to the Lord, and he gave me this. And it may be for just one person. I don't know. But saints of God, if you will help me today, if you will get with the Word today, I believe God can touch somebody in this house today. Brother Irvin, I believe God can touch somebody in this house today. Hallelujah. Because the Word is powerful. I said the Word is powerful. Don't look at the messenger. Look at the Word today. Don't look at the delivery. Look at the Word today. Hallelujah. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to get down deep where we're living, get down into our hearts and our lives, and do something for us. And I believe He's going to do it in this house today. I feel the Holy Ghost. Give the Lord a good hand of praise right now. Hallelujah! 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 I want to untie the hands of God today. Hallelujah. I count it an honor to stand behind this desk today. So I mentioned the other night, it's not a thing that I take lightly. It's with fear and with trembling. I want to deliver what God has for this service today. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Church, just love Him one more time right now. In the name of Jesus, we've come to have church today. We didn't come to play. We didn't come for a social gathering. But we came to have church. We came for God to do something in somebody's life. We came expecting God to change somebody today. If you believe that, why don't you give Him praise right now? Hallelujah. I want God to change. I want God to change somebody. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 40. I apologize for a lengthy reading. I feel it's necessary. John chapter 1 and verse number 40. We're going to read John 1 and 40 through 42. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read about 7 or 8 verses there. John chapter 1 and verse 40. Says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Aren't you glad you found the Messiah? Which is being interpreted the Christ. I'm glad I know who He is today. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Jesus told Simon, your name is Simon now. And by the way, just for your reference, the word Simon means in the Greek, flat-nosed. But he said, you're called flat-nosed now. But you will become Cephas or Peter, which being interpreted is a stone. In other words, I'm taking you from one place and I'm going to put you in another place. You're not always going to be where you are. You're going to change. Can somebody say amen? And go to Acts chapter 9. And while you're turning there, it was in Luke 22 that Jesus told that same Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He had a plan for Peter. Somebody say that. He had a plan. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he be found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he would bring them bound into Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You're fighting against me, Saul. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Nothing happens by chance. I said, nothing happens by chance. Brother Dawson, where are you? Is he back in here today? He was talking about how God put these. Nothing happens by chance. God has a plan today. And Ananias said, Lord, I have heard. And Ananias heard this and he questioned the Lord. And he said, I've heard of this man, how he's done much evil and how he's tortured the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He told Ananias, Don't hesitate, go to Saul, because I've chosen Saul and I have a plan for Saul. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And this is what I want to preach about this morning for just a few moments. God has a plan for you. I said, God has a plan for you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand of praise before you're seated today. Well, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost today. I want God to move upon our hearts and our souls. Are you going to help me? Hallelujah. Nothing compares to the power and the presence and the anointing power and the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to the love of God. Brother Warren, you can't compare God's love with anything. It surpasses every kind of love that you can find in this world. God's love is deep. God's love is real. God's love is unconditional. He does love you today. Do you believe it? Way back in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, the Bible gives us the perfect example of the love of God. And it brings out a story and lets us know just how much God really does love us. God created man in his own image, the Bible said, and he placed him in a garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He gave him dominion over all the animals and over all the earth. And the Lord commanded the man in the second chapter and verse 16, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave this man a woman as a companion. And the Bible said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Then came the serpent. And I'm not going to go into the whole story today, but you can read it in the third chapter of Genesis. How the serpent, the Bible said, came and beguiled Eve. And she took of the bait and she took of the fruit. And she gave it to her husband to eat. And they both took of it. And immediately, the Bible said, they realized that they were naked. But let me tell you, from the very beginning, God had a plan for man. God doesn't work just by happen chance. God doesn't work without a program and without a plan. In fact, there's some place in the Bible that said, before you ever do a work, count the cost. See, amen, if you can do it or not. But God had a plan. And in the beginning, The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. That word there means logos, which is interpreted simply means thought or plan. God had a plan. Amen. From the very beginning, Brother Roman, God had a plan for man. When He created man, He wanted man to worship Him and to praise Him. But He also knew, Brother Warren, that from the beginning, before He ever created anything, that man was going to fail. And let me tell you just how much God loves you. Before you ever committed your first sin, before you ever messed up, He made a way for you to come back. What kind of God do we serve today? Revelation 13 talks about the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. The Word was with God in the beginning. That plan, that logos, that thought was there with God. And He saw that you were going to fail. He saw that you were going to sin. But He loved you so much that He made a way for you to come back. He made a way for you to find Him today. He didn't leave you out to the wind. He didn't leave you out to just any old thing. He loved you enough. Amen. You're sitting in this church today because God loves you. And He sought to give you the truth of God. I'm so glad that He loves me. I said, I'm so glad that He loves me today. Why don't you just lift your hands if you're glad that Jesus loves you. Give Him some praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of Jesus. Before you ever decided a course for your life, amen, while you were planning your future and you graduated from college and high school and you began to go to work and you began to choose your career path and you decided who you're going to marry and how many children you were going to have, God had a plan for your life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 4:19, the scripture said, we love Him because He first loved us. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God has a plan for you. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, the plan of God is for you to be saved. The plan of God is for you to find Him. The plan of God is for you to know the truth, and the truth that will set you free today. Do you believe it tonight? Somebody shout, I believe it. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come. I said, I am come. Jesus said that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not the plan of God, Brother Patrick, for you to be lost. It's not the plan of God for the enemy to come into your life and to steal from you. It's not the plan of God for the enemy to come into your life and cause all kind of havoc and trouble. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is for you to find repentance. The plan of God is for you to have life and have it more abundantly. It's the plan of the enemy. It's his job to destroy you. It's his job to try to destroy you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the scripture said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I'm talking about His plan. I'm talking about His will. I'm talking about His purpose today in your life. He has a plan for you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not a love for the truth, that they might be saved. Let me tell you something. Saints of God, every single person under the sound of my voice today, it's the will of God for you to fall in love with Jesus. It's the will of God for you to fall in love with the Word of God. It's the will of God. It's the plan of God for you to fall in love with this truth and tell Him, Lord, show me your way. I may not understand it, but I want to understand it. God will reveal Himself to you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. You hear this preacher today? He doesn't want you to go to hell. For you see, hell was not prepared for you. That wasn't in the plan of God, Brother Cedric, when He began to do the things and create man and create the earth and do all the things that He did. The plan was not for us to inhabit the place called hell. When talking about His sheep on the right and His goats on the left, the Bible said in Matthew 25, He said, "Then shall He say unto those on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire." Prepared. Not for you. It wasn't prepared for you, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. In Isaiah 5 and 13, the scripture said, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened up her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and they that rejoice descend into it." Hell was not created for you. It's not in God's plan for you to go there. But many will travel that road. I'm afraid many will travel that road. Matthew 7 and 13 said, "And they're in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that find it." It's not the will of God for you to travel that broad road. It's not the will of God for you to go down that path. But it's His plan and His purpose for you to find Him today. Why don't you lift your hands and love Him right now? I said, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. His plan for you is to stand before Him one day and for you to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. It really doesn't matter what I say. The scriptures talk about let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter about tradition. I said it doesn't matter about tradition. Tradition for the sake of tradition never saved anybody. Hallelujah. It's the plan of God for you to hear those words. Well done. Don't be fooled into thinking that it doesn't matter. Don't be fooled into thinking it really doesn't matter what I believe, because it does matter what you believe. I was reading a book last night, or part of a book last night, and I was reading bits and pieces that I do. Before I read a book, I like to get an overview of the book. So I read the front cover and the back cover and the first page and two or three pages in the middle, then I skip to the back. I like to see how the book's going to end. So I was skimming through the book. And I got to the end of the book and I began to read the very last page. And by the way, just so you know it, I took a sneak peek in the back of this book. And let me give you a little insight today. We win. Amen. I said we win. If you want to know how it turns out, get the book and look in the back of the book. Because we win. You see, that enemy, that devil, that adversary that's bothering you every day, that's on your back, that's trying to destroy you, the Bible said one angel is going to take him, amen, going to shut him up and going to put him in the bottomless pit. That's what the back of this book says. So don't fret the journey. Enjoy the journey. Because the ending is sweet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you believe that, why don't you say amen? Amen. But I was reading in the very last page of the book. By the way, this gentleman pastors a very small home missions work of about 30,000 people. And in the back of the book, he writes a letter. And the letter goes something like this. I'm talking about God's got a plan for you. Amen. But in the letter it says something like, are you having trouble in your life or things not going right and this, that, and another. And he says, and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. And he began to read his letter there. Or I begin to read his letter. And in the part of the letter, it talks about, just repeat this prayer with me. And he goes through a couple of sentences about accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And then he goes into the next section. And he says, congratulations, you're now saved. Send me a card, write me a letter, and let me know how you feel. And I was laying there beside my wife, and I looked over at her, and I said, read this. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. This is not God's plan for me. You see, there's one problem with that. And I don't want to make anybody mad today, but there's one problem with that. I don't find that plan in the Bible. I don't find those words in the Bible. I don't find that in the Word of God today. God's got a plan for you. I had a preacher years ago when I was a child. He said, if you accept the Lord as your prayer, you need to do that. But he said, this message is going out, and there's preachers all across this city. They will tell you, just repeat these words. Shake my hand. Sign this card, and you're ready to go. I had a pastor that said, you might as well go down to the barn and shake a cow's tail and write your name on the barn door, because it's going to do about as much good. But I'm telling you today, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to make it. And don't let anybody pick your pocket and tell you it's okay, that any old way will do. You got problems in your life? Let me tell you. And I know you find this to be true as you talk to people. There are hurting people in this world. And they need more than a lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul to keep prayer. Brother Derek, they need somebody that can get a hold of God and give them a plan. Tell them the truth. Give them something that'll change their life. Get them something that'll take them off of drugs. Get them something that'll take them off of alcohol. Give them something worth living for. Give them something that'll put their marriage back together. Give them something that'll change them. Give them something that they can live for. The joy of the Lord is my strength today. It's the plan of God for you to have it. I don't find that in the Word of God. But let me tell you what I found. Let me tell you what I found. It's in the Word. I find 120, and I'm getting ready to close, Sister. Sister Lindsay. Just kind of make your way and give us hope and all that good stuff. I find in the book of Acts, there's 120. About 120, the Bible says, that are in the upper room. They're there by instruction of Jesus Christ to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise until you be endued with power from on high. You see, in that upper room, in the midst of that 120 that are there, we find the 12 disciples there. And we also find Mary, the mother of Jesus, there. And they were told to go by Jesus. And he told them, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm talking about a plan for you today. I'm talking about something that'll change you. Something that'll turn your life around. Something that'll set you in the right direction. Something that will do mighty things in your life. God's got a plan for you today. A beginning, a start. And in the book of Acts, the second chapter, the Bible tells us, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all in one accord, in one place. He's on board. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That's what I found in the Word of God. Brother Ronnie, that's what I found when I looked there. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And here's the part I like. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. That's the plan I found. And it goes on to say they were amazed as they began to, those in the city began to see them and how they were acting. He said they were amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." I said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea," I'm talking about a plan, "all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Amen. And he goes on to tell him what it was. Amen. And as he began to preach, they heard this in verse 37, and they were pricked in their heart, and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Now here it is. This is what I want to tell you today. If you want a plan for your life, if you want God to do something, if you want Him to change you, if you want Him to take control, ask the same question that they asked Peter. What must I do? And Peter said unto them, somebody say repent. Somebody say repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that what it said? For the remission of sins. And you shall, somebody say shall, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a plan for your life. I'm talking about something that you can put your hand on. Something you can take to the bank, Brother Tony. Something that is real. Something that is powerful. Something that is more than shaking a preacher's hand and signing your name to some church roll somewhere. Something that'll change your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody praise Him right now. Somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 What are you going to do with the plan that God has for you? What are you going to do with what God has given you today? Acts chapter 8, the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, the Bible said they all received the Holy Ghost. How did they know that they received the Holy Ghost? Put up Acts chapter 10 and somewhere around 43 or something, close to the last verse of the chapter there. How did they know that they received the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about a plan. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles the Holy Ghost was poured out. Why? How did they know it? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's the plan for you today. The plan for you is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to talk in tongues. Let me give you another bit of information. If it's been a while since you talked in tongues, it's time to do it today. If it's been a while since you talked in tongues, it's time that you do it today. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I want you to praise Him right now. Hallelujah. God is moving through this building. Hallelujah. 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 God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Somebody believe it today. Hallelujah. 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 I know God is still filling folks with the Holy Ghost. Amen. This brother right here was filled with the Holy Ghost just a few weeks ago. I know God is still doing it. I said, I know God is still doing it. And it's as real today as it was 3-4 weeks ago. It's as real today as it was 30-40 years ago. It's as real today as it was 2 years ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me today? It's not the plan of God for you to be lost. It's God's will and God's plan for you to receive it today. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19. Now here it is. In verse number 2. The question was asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If you're a believer today, that's great. If you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, that's great. But let me ask you a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believed? These men said, we don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost or not. He said, what baptism were you baptized in? And they said, we were baptized under John's baptism, under repentance. But Paul said, verily, John baptized unto repentance, saying unto the people, they should believe on him which should come after him. And he said, that is on Christ. And when they heard this, they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God's got a plan for you today. And if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we have water. What doth hinder us to baptize you? We will baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. God has a plan for you. Why don't we all stand to our feet right now? Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. 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 If you see somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, why don't you ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God's got a plan for you. I said, God's got a plan for you today.